Lots of ways to celebrate the holiday season. One classic way is with the Albany Symphony Orchestra. The orchestra's Magic of Christmas concert will be performed this Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. at the Palace Theater in downtown Albany. It is so magical, it is called the Magic of Christmas. And then next weekend, a week from this weekend, 1786, masterwork after masterwork would flow from the pen of Mozart, the Prague Symphony, the Marriage of Figaro, and three of music's greatest piano concertos. So in two different programs over one weekend at the Troy Music Hall, the orchestra will present the genius of Mozart. To tell us about all of this, we welcome the maestro of the Albany Symphony Orchestra, our good friend, David Allen Miller. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm great. It's so nice of you to have me. And it is true, we've got a really exciting couple of weeks coming up, starting this Sunday and going very much through the following weekend.
So I was looking at the notes, and I'm going over what you're going to be performing this weekend. And I didn't see a program as much, but I did see that there will be Irish dancers.
Yes, there are always Irish dancers. We love
Are there always Irish dancers?
We do. We have three groups that have been with us, I think, for every single Magic of Christmas. And we try to vary the other elements of the program. And so we've got Lucille Beer, the great mezzo-soprano, singing with us this year, and various other things going on. But the Boland School of Irish Dance, they are regulars because they are unbelievable, and they just set the crowd on fire. They're so exciting. And then also the music studio, Noel Liberty's great after-school music program. They're doing the world premiere of a new piece for all their cool ORF instruments, all those xylophones and metallophones and things, as well as another number. And then the Capital District Youth Chorale, Diane Warner's beautiful, enormous youth chorale is singing a number of holiday favorites with us.
I was looking at some images of past performances with all of you on the stage, and it looks like it is the entire Capital District on the stage of the Palace Theater.
Well, that is part of the effort. We are so excited to do that program because it is really like a huge, I always describe it as a huge hug to all the talented young people of the Capital Region, and there are so many. So we probably will have a total of 200 or 300 young people joining us in various guises one way or the other in this program. So it's a beautiful, wonderful, life-affirming, family kind of event Sunday at 3 at the Palace Theater.
I don't think I don't want to speak for everyone because I think everyone is different. I don't want to speak for everyone. But I think life-affirming right now is good.
I do too. And I have to say that segues perfectly into the Mozart program because as I've been listening assiduously, which seems to be the big word in Albany, assiduously to your magnificent radio program every morning and through the day on AMC, I find myself needing to turn ever more to my study of the Mozart pieces on next weekend's concert. And every time I start studying one of the piano concertos again, all of that worry and angst just fades away because the music is so magical. In fact, my image is, you know, and Mozart is maybe my absolute alpha composer of all times. My image is there's this great scene in The Magic Flute in his last opera where Prince Tamino plays his magic flute and all the violent beasts from the forest come out and they hear the music and they start dancing like children around this flute because the music is so magical. And when I open the score to study one of these pieces, that's just how I feel. I just become charmed by it immediately. It's magical.
Talk about what you mean when you say alpha composer.
Well, it's like a parent. you don't want to show too much favoritism to one over another composer, as a conductor, as an interpreter, as a performer, whatever one might be.
Oh, who cares?
And yet there are certain composers who just absolutely check all the boxes. And while, you know, I could make a case for why Beethoven's my favorite composer or why, you know, I deeply love Tchaikovsky's music or any number of contemporary composers, the one that I find sort of gives me the most complete satisfaction and the most it's just the most wondrous to me because I think it's beyond explaining his gifts, his perfection, it's funny when you look at even Beethoven's music, my other second alpha composer, you can see how he puts it together often. You know, you can see how he takes the modules and the themes and the subjects and the harmonies and builds these enormous, immense, unbelievably brilliant architectural structures out of them. With Mozart, you really can't figure it out. It's just you can comment on the incredible depth or beauty or sensual elements or the structural intensity or brilliance of it, but you can't really take it apart and put it back together. It's almost beyond explaining.
It's also interesting to me that when you mention this about you find yourself going to this music as a way of of relieving the angst. That Mozart seemed to be a master of creating the angst and then relieving it. Because there are just these wonderful passages that have you riddled, and then it just, you let it flow and go away.
That's exactly true, Joe. That's very astute because, you know, he has this certain depth and pathos in his music that really is singular in the period. When you go and compare him to lesser classical composers of the late 1700s, with the exception of Haydn, who was the other greatest composer, but never reaches the level of pathos of Mozart. When you compare Mozart to a different composer, not to Haydn, but to a lesser composer, it's so striking how the language is the same, the elements are the same, the harmonies, the melodies are similar, and yet he manages to wrest so much more emotional power from these very basic materials. It's quite extraordinary.
So I apologize for using this word. It's just the only one that I can come up with right at the moment, which is the gimmick of next weekend is the year 1786 and the tremendous output of Mozart, and you do this over two performances.
Right, and just to back up to explain how that came about, two years ago, we did a weekend where on two programs we played the complete five piano concertos of Ludwig van Beethoven with wonderful pianists who were all students or past students of Emanuel Ax. And it was such an exciting thing not just to hear these five pieces back to back, but to sort of trace Beethoven's evolution from the second piano concerto, which was the first one he wrote, through the fifth, that people love that and wanted to come back. People who were at the Saturday night, many of them came back to hear the Sunday to complete the journey. So we were thinking about what kind of similar body of works we could feature over a weekend, and there really aren't as many that fit as neatly like the Beethoven Five Concerti. And so someone had suggested to me, well, why don't you just do a year in Mozart's life, because every year was so extraordinary. So I started looking at the output of his different years, and 1786... like 1784 and 1785 and 1783 and 1788 and 1789, it's just filled with magnificent pieces. But what attracted me to it was that it does have these three late great piano concertos. You know, he moved to Vienna in 1781. He wrote, I think, 14 of his most important piano concertos in this period, in these 5 years between 81 and 86. And then he only wrote two afterwards, later in life. And so this is kind of the culminating of his work inventing the piano concerto, essentially, and he wrote them mainly for himself. So these three pieces couldn't be more different from each other, and each one is magnificent. And then also the Marriage of Figaro was written in that year, the Prague Symphony. So we're going to actually explore this whole year in Mozart's orchestral output.
I'm fascinated by that term of inventing the piano concerto. How do you think, was there an awareness of a consciousness of this is what I would like to do?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, I don't think he sat down and said, "I will invent the piano concerto."
No,
were keyboard concertos before, and very reputable ones, and other composers.
But perhaps
had written
them. There was something missing that he felt needed to be added to the repertoire.
Well, yes. I mean, it really grew out of his own skill. He was probably that era's greatest living keyboard player, and more fantasy, and given his compositional gifts, the welding of those two, and also his great interest in dramatic music. You know, he essentially invented modern opera. So when you hear Figaro, that's the first of the greatest operas. So these things all happened in this year, 1786, and he really, in a certain way, I mean, opera certainly existed before him, but he invented a sort of dramatic modern opera that wasn't just aria recitative, but these incredible ensemble numbers and duets and trios and this flexible form. And the piano concertos are basically his own personal operas. And so you can really see, when you hear Figaro next to these great piano concertos, you can really see how they inform each other. So he was evolving. I mean, in a way, he's this revolutionary figure, but because his music is so gracious and so approachable, he isn't considered a Beethovenian, you know, revolutionary, and yet he revolutionized these two art forms like no other composer in history.
So how will the two concerts be broken out?
Well, it's interesting. That was a hard question. So we're starting on Saturday night with a big chunk of lots of selections from the Marriage of Figaro, featuring those wonderful young singers from the Bard Vocal Arts Program, Don Upshaw's opera program, and they're sensational. We love working with them. Then we're doing the first of the three piano concertos, the great A major, number 23. Then on the second half, we're doing the great C minor, which is one of the only two minor key piano concertos, number 24. Each with a the different young soloists. And we have three brilliant young pianists, the youngest of whom, the one on Sunday, Felicia He, is 15 years old, and the oldest is in his early 20s, and each very different at different career points and different aesthetic views, but wonderful young pianists. And then a little bit of the last movement of the Prague Symphony, which is kind of a teaser for the next afternoon. Sunday afternoon, we do the Prague Symphony, we do the great C major piano concerto number 25, the fourth horn concerto with our beloved first horn player, Bill Hughes, and then scenes from this very funny little comic opera that he penned very quickly in 1786 called The Impresario, about these two divas who are competing with each other, and it's very funny. I'm the greatest singer. No, I'm the greatest singer. I can sing adagio. I can sing allegro. And very, again, with the Bard kids. So wonderful kind of just a journey through the entire year and an amazing insight into his various gifts and skills.
Will you be narrating the journey? Is there interstitial discussion as to tell us where we are, put it into context?
Sure. I'll introduce the operatic segments, but I also always do a pre-concert talk an hour before each show. So on the Saturday night, it's at 6:30 because the concert starts at 7:30 at the Music Hall. Sunday, it's at 2 and the concert's at 3 at the Music Hall. So if you're interested in knowing a lot of the backstory, come to the thing an hour before. And we do a wonderful thing Friday, next Friday, a week from today, at the Public Library in Albany downtown at 12 o'clock that Vanguard sponsors, which is much more in-depth for a whole hour talking about Mozart, talking to some of the soloists. I'm going to try to bring one or two of the pianists to play some selections. So just a great weekend of the most extravagantly beautiful, life-affirming music in the world. So if you're having a rough time, as many of us AMC listeners are, this time of year, given all the challenging news out there in the world, there's no better balm for it than a weekend of Mozart, or this weekend, a great Sunday afternoon with the family, with friends, of seeing these great young people with the symphony celebrating the holidays.
What a great opportunity for the kids, too. It is.
And they really appreciate it. I've got to say, I've been over to the music studio twice this week, working deeply with them, and over at Capital District Youth Chorale on Tuesday night, working in depth with them. Their music directors have been working with them for months, preparing these programs. And they really, I have to tell you, I jokingly said to Mrs. Liberty at the music studio, I said to the kids, well, I hope she gave you Thanksgiving off. And they said, oh, no, we were here in the morning. We got the afternoon off. So it's really,
wow.
They
Mrs.
really,
Liberty is quite the stickler.
They really take the opportunity very seriously, and we just love working with them, and they seem to love working with us, and it's just a great chance for us to embrace exciting musical activities in our community.
And I mean, you need obviously the Palace Theater because you have to put all these people in and
big,
their parents, so
big,
it's, you're going to need a large venue. But my God, just the idea of your orchestra on the stage of the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall in such a beautiful, intimate setting of that music, it just seems like a luscious evening and afternoon.
That hall was made for this music. I mean, for you know, the Mozart Orchestra will probably be about 40 musicians, and that's the perfect size in Troy. So to me, it's just heaven. I mean, I feel like it's such a privilege to be able to spend any time studying this music. So I hope everyone will come on out. The Saturday night is almost sold out. We still have a few tickets, but the Sunday, I think we still have more availability. But it's another good reason to put some Albany Symphony subscriptions in your stockings this holiday season so that your family doesn't get shut out of the great concerts we're giving.
You can find out about those subscriptions. You can find out about the concerts, the one that is happening on Sunday at the Palace Theater, and the two concerts that are happening next weekend at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, by going to the website albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. Are you still in your 20s? It seems like we've been celebrating
26.
We're in 26 now, right?
I cannot tell a lie.
Okay, all right. It seems like we're still celebrating there for a while.
One of our donors said, This 25th anniversary has been going on for 4 years. Yeah. No, it's officially over. It's my 26th.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Joe.
That's a very lucky number.
I'm heading toward 30.
It's well, good. We need you.
Looking forward to it.
David Alan Miller is the maestro of the Albany Symphony Orchestra. He's one of our dear friends. We love when he comes by, and we love the work that you do for our community and the beauty that you present to us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. I hope we'll see lots of folks out at the concerts.
Have a beautiful holiday season. AlbanySymphony.com for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.